This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Anita Rao. It is not easy to access unemployment benefits in North Carolina, and this has been true for quite some time. In 2013, the Republican-led legislature made deep cuts to the state's unemployment insurance system, and as of late last year, fewer than 1 in 10 jobless people in North Carolina received unemployment benefits. That is the lowest rate in the country. COVID-19 has made the problems applicants face even worse. The number of unemployed workers has spiked during the crisis, and that has overtaxed an already sluggish system. Ava Kaufman is a reporter for ProPublica, and her new piece looks into North Carolina's unemployment benefits crisis. Ava, welcome to The State of Things.
Thanks so much for having me.
So you wrote a piece about North Carolina's unemployment crisis in ProPublica. It was published yesterday, and it paints a pretty dark picture of what it is like to file for unemployment here. So just tell me a bit of an overview. What are some of the things that stood out to you that you learned about North Carolina's system in particular?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of filing, it's obviously really difficult everywhere, and every system has its quirks, mostly because the technology and infrastructure is so outdated and hasn't been modernized in a long time. But in North Carolina, the metrics for, you know, the timeliness that you'll receive your payments, you know, how quickly you'll be able to actually get those benefits, the amount of benefits you'll get, how long those benefits will last, all of those are near or at the bottom nationally. So even if you make it through the computer system, you get through to a human operator who tells you to just, you know, keep waiting for your benefits essentially after calling hundreds of times. What you'll get in North Carolina is a lot less than what a worker would get in, you know, Massachusetts or many other states. And that doesn't have to do with the kind of job you have or, you know, how much you are making. It really just has to do with the state you happen to live in.
And you tell this story through the lens of one particular woman named Sean Hill Watkins. So tell me about her and what her story of applying for benefits really illuminates about the experience of North Carolinians in this pandemic period in particular.
Absolutely. So Sean is a mother of six children and has been living with her youngest son, who's 15, in an extended stay hotel for many months now. She was kind of, you know, just barely making ends meet before this crisis, but fully able to, you know, support them, you know, staying there, paying rent, you know, having enough to get by, but lost her job as a result of the coronavirus, and her hours were reduced to zero. And, you know, she filed right away for unemployment, recognizing that, you know, her ability to work the way she used to work was severely limited by the virus, you know, in mid-April, and didn't hear back for 2 months. And so every week that went by, she would, you know, upload the fact that she still wasn't working, but had made, you know, a good faith, you know, effort, you know, would work if had she been called back to work. She called the hotline. She just wanted to know if she was even going to qualify, because if she wasn't, she really needed to find, you know, something else out to stay in this motel. And I think that what struck me the most was just the kind of, you know, obtuseness and lack of transparency in the system. You know, it's this huge bureaucratic system. And Sean is just one of millions of people to kind of be, you know, facing it and trying to ask it for answers to get the money that she's owed and that her employer, you know, paid into the system in advance for moments like this.
Well, you make the point there that she wanted to know if she qualified. And that brings us to one of the really interesting numbers to look at in North Carolina, which is the recipiency rate. So there is a difference between being counted as unemployed and being unemployed and receiving benefits. Those are two different things. And North Carolina has a recipiency rate that is the lowest in the United States. So tell me about this rate and this discrepancy.
Sure. Yeah. At the end of last year, so at the end of 2019, North Carolina had only 9.1% of unemployed people living there actually receiving unemployment benefits. And that doesn't measure how many people actually apply, but it is a really good indicator of just how many people the system reaches and how many people are really accessing it, which, you know, when it's fewer than 1 to 10, and the lowest in the country is not very many. And some of the reasons for that seem to be that the benefits are so short that people in North Carolina run out of benefits far more quickly than people in other states do. So that's called the exhaustion rate. And that means you're on unemployment, but you eventually get kicked off because you run out of your ability to collect them. And in North Carolina, it's only 12 weeks that you can collect your benefits for. So that's a very high exhaustion rate to have 50% of people kind of, you know, running through that before being able to find new work that they're qualified for. So that's one of the reasons the recipiency rate is low. It's also because, there's all this red tape, as you mentioned. The changes in 2013 made the system harder to access. It hasn't been fully modernized, which is the case with many other systems. So the online computer system is really hard to use. And a lot of people also think maybe these aren't for me. Maybe these aren't worth applying for. They don't know other people who've gotten benefits because the recipiency rate is so low. They think that they won't be eligible. There are all of these different eligibility provisions that, you know, if they're a part-time worker or not really making enough money to begin with, they might not qualify or think they're worth it. So all of these things contribute to the system reaching very, very, a record low number of people. Yeah.
So in your piece, you do a really nice deep dive into the history of the system in North Carolina. And I'd love for you to give us a brief historical overview of why this became such a pervasive issue starting in 2013. You mentioned a couple of the kind of major changes and highlights, which is, you know, maximum number of weeks someone in North Carolina can draw benefits is 12 compared with a national standard of 26. The amount of weekly payments was slashed. A lot of people who got were eligible before became disqualified. So tell me about what happened in 2013 and how that has shaped the system today.
Sure. Yeah, it all goes back to the Great Recession, starting in 2008 when the jobs crisis began. Then the trust funds that states used to kind of pay out unemployment benefits began to go bankrupt or, you know, become insolvent, I guess was the formal word. And so states had to start borrowing money from the federal government in order, to continue paying these lifelines, vital benefits out during this time. Eventually, those loans from the federal government came with interest. And so in 2012, the year before North Carolina made its big changes, the question was, you know, how are we going to pay back these loans? And 36 states owed, 36 programs owed money to the federal government during this time. So they were not the only ones to kind of be faced with this, it's called this insolvent trust fund. And they made the decision to make some of the deepest cuts to their program in the country. Other states, you know, raised taxes, others cut benefits, but also raised taxes on employers. Others did nothing and just waited for the federal government to kind of recoup those loans with interest through automatic increases in the funds. And North Carolina's decision ended up being really kind of dramatic and significant because, as you mentioned, there was the benefit amount was cut. The duration, which is now, you know, currently 12 weeks, but can be a sliding scale between 12 and 20. How benefits were calculated really hurt workers in that, you know, we had the highest, they had a benefit calculation that was the highest quarter, which, you know, gives you benefits based on when you're making the most. And that was changed to an average of the last two quarters. So usually, you know, your hours are reduced before you're about to lay off. So that also kind of shrunk the benefit amount. And in making all of these changes, they also ended up kicking, you know, an estimated 170,000 people off of, what was at the time, you know, extended benefits provided through federal aid, just like we have right now with the CARES Act.
So we are at this time where people in our state, it's harder to access the benefits. You don't get them for as much time. You get less than you would get if you're in other states. The CARES Act has mitigated some of this with this extra $600 a week payment, but that is supposed to run out at the end of July. So kind of looking at where we are today, I mean, can you tell me about kind of, are there moves to change this system moving forward? And who are the people that are really affected if things don't change? Who are the people really affected right now with the system as it is?
Governor Cooper has signed several executive orders that make temporary changes just to kind of streamline the system and make it work more quickly. So some of the red tape, like having a mandatory waiting week in between when you apply and receive benefits, that's been eliminated. The requirement that you actively search for work and make contact with three employers a week, probably, you know, maybe still not the best idea in the pandemic, has also been eliminated. The ability for employers to kind of file bulk claims is now allowed. So there are some things that are really speeding up the system. And the Division of Employment Security has done, you know, what it can, it seems, to turn around, you know, this ship, I guess, for lack of a better metaphor, that's been broken. But in terms of long-term changes, it seems like kind of what you're pointing to is the fact that when the CARES Act, this extra $600 payment that everyone receiving unemployment benefits gets right now, runs out, now that it's July 1st, right at the end of this month, you know, will that expose, will that leave North Carolinians, you know, back to an average weekly payment of $277 from $877? And what will that kind of do to the conversation around unemployment in the state seems to be the really interesting and kind of open political question of this moment.
I have 10 seconds left, but what is going on with Sean Hill Watkins today?
Yes, Sean's doing a lot better now that she finally received her payment. So she's able to afford her hotel room for the next month and is hoping to save up to buy an RV.
Wonderful. You can find more about her at our website to read Ava's article, stateofthings.org.